You are listening to Fire School of Ministry podcast from the South Island of New Zealand. From revival to reformers to relationships, Fire School aims to train and equip followers of Jesus to take the gospel to the very ends of the earth. Find Fire School of Ministry New Zealand on Facebook.
God. All right, let's pray as we open God's word together. Father, we want to thank you for today. Thank you for the fun in the house today amongst us. And Lord, we pray as we look at the subject of envy that you would speak to us. We pray that you would search our hearts and our minds and root out all that's not of you, that a great channel of blessing might come through us and in us and around us to this lost and dying world. Lord, would you pour out your spirit upon us as we've poured out our hearts to you in song. I pray that you would pour forward your spirit upon us in the name of Jesus. Help us to uncover this sinister sin in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, boys and girls, we are going to talk this morning, following on from last week's message, about the green-eyed monster. We're going to talk about the subject of envy. I so appreciated Ross's message last week about categorizing people and labeling people and being negative towards people. And I've had this message, I've never preached this before, but I had it bubbling in me for about 2 years. There's lots of things bubble in me. Not all of them are worthy of coming from a pulpit. But I just thought, no, this is it. This would be good. So anyway, we're going to talk about the green-eyed monster. Now, just help me out with my English. This green-eyed monster comes from Shakespeare. He mentioned it. Do you use that term in New Zealand? We use it in England. You don't use the term. Hands up if you've heard the green-eyed monster. Okay, some of you. Okay, I thought it was only some of you. So the green-eyed monster is a term used by Shakespeare about the problem of envy. Who's ever heard of the term, oh, look at her, she's green with envy? You've heard that. That's where it comes from. So it's the green-eyed monster for whatever reason. But envy, it's like the most common problem that nobody has. So as you hear this message, if you're sitting here thinking, oh, I've got to get the tape or the CD or the MP3 download. I've just got to get it for my friend who struggles with envy. Yeah, that's exactly right. This is the common problem that no one seems to have, and the nobody especially would be you and me. So what we want to do is try to uncover it, but I'm going to uncover it in you and me in a different kind of way. Instead of perhaps prodding you, I'm just going to be as vulnerable and as honest as I can about me, okay? Because I've got nothing to lose, all right? One writer said this, René Girard said this, envy is the hardest sin to acknowledge. It's the hardest sin. It's as if envy sits below the surface of a lot of other problems and then rears its ugly head every now and then, but it goes undercover quite quick. But it's a highly toxic and very common issue among humans and among followers of Jesus. There's a modern malaise in our social networking and social media that we live in. We've all experienced the growth of IT, and there's a new term for it, FOMO, feeling of missing out, among young people. We noticed it with courses that we were running. In the old days, you know, like 2004, in the old days, some of you are thinking, isn't it only 2005? Right, no, it's 2018 right now. In the old days, in 2004, people used to sign up for courses, and you could run a course, and 30 people, or however many people, they'll have all signed up before the course is going to start, and you've got all your money in and your registrations, and you'll appreciate this, Dee, because that's you do all that for me, and boom, 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 you've got all your people, and you run your course, and it's all organized. I like that because I'm English. FOMO is a common problem among young people where there's this feeling of missing out on a better deal. It's almost like envy of someone else might be having more fun elsewhere, so I won't sign up for the course until last minute. And about 4 years ago, I noticed a change where people weren't signing up for courses, and it was the same course, it was the same area, it was no big deal, no different. And all of a sudden, the course would start at 7 in the evening. At 6:45, I would be saying to Emma, about 6 o'clock, I would be at home with Emma. I'd say, Emma, I've got like 2 people signed on this course. Like, is it really worth me running a course that you go to all this effort? I've got 2 people. I mean, you know, it's all good. I don't mind running a course for 2, but we need to sort of have a cutoff point. At 6:45, we start getting the texts. Is your course on tonight? Are you still running the course? Is it on tonight? At 6:55, we start getting registrations. At 7:02, by 7:10, because, you know, it's now some time, I've got a full course of students, but they've all often waited until the last minute because there's that feeling that we might be missing out. And that's just a little silly thing about courses, but it has a major implication to long-term relationships as well. For the right one to come along, the feeling that we might miss out and might, there could be somebody better coming along. And it's something to do with our culture where we've looked at other people's lives through Facebook, through Snapchat, through all the different social media networks, and kind of wanted something else that isn't ours, or seen something else that looks more appealing and more attractive, and it's produced something that called FOMO, and it's a recognized psychological illness now in young people, and it's recorded here in various health associations, tips to get over your FOMO or fear of missing out. Hell Pizza, which I know none of you, because you're far too Christian, eat pizza from, and coupled by the fact it's not particularly nice pizza, they name one of their pizzas Envy, one of the 7 deadly sins. So it must be true. There it is. It's on Hell Pizza's card. Gosh, aren't they tough and scary that they can call something Hell Pizza. Napoleon said this: envy is a declaration of inferiority. So what envy does is it looks at somebody else who seems to be more blessed, and it causes inferior feelings in you, in me. Interestingly, and we'll dig this out a little bit, it's often between peers as opposed to sons and fathers, or mothers and daughters, or daughters and granddaughters. It's often between peers, and I'll dig that out as we move along. So it's the distress at another person's success, but it masquerades itself really well. So you can be envious of someone else's success, but still put on a really good smile in Jesus' name. I'm really pleased for you, Jeff, that you won the lotto. Inside, I'm thinking, just buying the ticket was wrong. And he won. Didn't you know about Jeff winning the lotto? Oh, sorry, Jeff. Don't mention it. Sorry, no, just keep it quiet. It's all good. Keep it quiet. Yeah, so I've got lots of friends now, bro. How's it going? You okay? How's it going?
Yeah.
I'm really well. My family are doing really well, but we're a big family, got needs. Envy is the art of counting another's blessings instead of your own. Ooh. Look, today we are going to have a lot of long silences, okay? It's going to go... There's a little voice on your shoulder saying, it's not you. It's not you. He's not talking about you. He's talking about himself. That's satanic, that voice, okay? I even did a good Satan version of it. Just rebuke that voice and say, this could be me. And let's get it out. Let's root it out. How many times do I do that? How many times do I look at Anthony's waxed chest? I did, Sarah. he showed it off in front of 5,000 people at the Trafalgar Center. I'm just commenting, and we played it in church. Six pack. I've got a six pack, they're just hidden. Keep him warm. Under a barrel. So envy is the art of looking at someone else and seeing the blessing on them, but immediately feeling inferior. You catching it? Okay, so it's a real thing, this. You've got to dig it out, though. Ecclesiastes 4:4 says this. Solomon says this. When I saw that all toil and all skill in work come from a man's envy of his neighbor, this also is vanity and a striving after wind. So even business success, some of the top CEOs, some of the top business people that have done well have been driven by envy, seeing somebody else's success and being driven. And here we go, I'll start getting personal now. I can honestly say my work ethic, which I think is really good, has been driven for many, many years with a need to make my dad happy. Because my dad was happy with me if I was working. He couldn't just be happy with me. Make sense? And you say, oh, but Steve, you're a Christian now and all those things have washed away. Yeah, right. Yes, I'm saved, born again, spirit-filled, love Jesus, going to be with Jesus, but there's a whole lot of filtering of those emotions that need to be sorted out. And one of them was a work ethic driven to please my dad. And Ecclesiastes says, Solomon says, it's vanity and a striving after the wind. Very common among men. Men tend to struggle with envy for other men. So things like earning clout, things like the house or the boat or the ute that you drive. That's the struggle with men. There's that advert, I searched and searched it on the internet, I couldn't find it. There was a, New Zealanders love their utes. I mean, we claim to be clean, green and all that nonsense and keep the rivers clean, but you know, fill the air with ute fume. Anyway. And there was a ute advert where a guy drives up in a ute, and I live in Auckland, I work in Auckland, so it's Uteville, okay? And I live in Wakefield, and that's kind of Uteville too, so anyway. And you know, this guy kind of rocks up, and the guy who's got the really cool ute, the new, the latest, whatever, he says, mate, that's not a ute. That's a ute. And in comes the new model ute, you know, and it produces envy. And you can see it on the Auckland construction sites. Mate, some of those guys. Oh, anyway, you can just tell. It smells. 1 Corinthians 13:4. This is an interesting verse. You know this? Love is patient. Love is kind. Quote the rest. Yeah. It does not envy. The next line. We know the first one, don't we? Love is patient, Steve. My wife says that to me all the time. Steve, love is kind. Stop being a grumpy, impatient old man. Of course, my wife would never say anything like that because she's far too submitted to me in our relationship. She said those words to me yesterday. Stop being a grumpy, impatient, unkind old man. It's so I'm sorry. Sorry, there are some issues in the congregation already, I can tell. It's so wonderful to have the Holy Spirit or Satan living with me. I can't decide. Anyway, interesting Bible verse. That very popular passage, I think we breeze it a little bit, breeze over it, says love doesn't envy. Love doesn't envy. Steve, I'm just in my own, I'm from a Catholic background, so I need a confessional box once in a while, so just forgive me. Steve, love doesn't envy. Yeah, okay, thanks Steve. Yeah, tell yourself the truth, Steve. Love doesn't envy. It does not boast and it is not proud, 1 Corinthians 13. What about the Bible? Let's have a look at some characters in the Bible. Now remember I said that envy seems to come up more among peers. So if you are a doctor, it will be with other doctors that envy will be a breeding ground for you. If you are a minister, it will be among other ministers in the ministerial fraternal that will be the breeding ground for envy. If you go to mums and tots groups because you've got little kids, it will be other mothers with less of a mummy tummy than you and less tiger marks than you and a nicer husband than you that will be the breeding ground for envy. You catching it now? All right. The first brothers of the Bible, Cain and Abel. What happened? Not too sure, but Abel's sacrifice was good. Cain's sacrifice was not good. Cain didn't like the fact that God accepted Abel, didn't accept him, and killed him. First death of the Bible. Someone said, well, what about Adam and Eve? Well, the only reason Adam and Eve didn't struggle with envy is because Adam didn't have a brother. Remember what I just said. It's in the peer realm that the problem seems to breed. And it seems to be, not always, but it seems to be same sex as well. So often men, there's obviously lusting. Men will lust after women, women after men. That's obviously a common sin, but not in the area of envy. It's different. It's the same sex often, and it's the same peer realm. So the same type of work, the same type of people. Is that making some sense? How about Isaac and Ishmael, two brothers to one dad, different mums? Isaac gets the blessing, Ishmael doesn't. Causes World War III. I mean, it's still going on. The family feud is still going on today from those guys. How about Jacob and Esau? Jacob wanted the blessing that was meant to go to Esau, dressed himself up, tried to change himself to be like Esau, actually got the blessing, and that caused a 20-year feud between Jacob and Esau, where Esau wanted to come back and kill him. So envy not only is a bad thing, but it leads to murder, malice, and other sins that are just awful. Joseph and his brothers, you remember Joseph? Jacob had way, way back many centuries ago, not long after the Bible began. Jacob was a man from the land of Canaan, a fine example of a family man. Jacob and sons. Come on, that's an awesome musical. It's actually in the Bible. Yeah, all right. You remember Joseph? You got 12 boys, and dad chooses one of them for the fancy gear, the Giorgio Armani gear. Yeah, all the other brothers go, that's awesome, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the God of Jacob for our wonderful brother who gets the lovely gear and we're all dressed in tea towels on our heads and, you know, pantaloons. No, he gets killed, or nearly killed. He gets betrayed, thrown in a pit, sold off as a slave. Interesting thing about the blessing of God on somebody, though, and this is a little seed for another message another time. God has a way of making the blessed person less enviable through suffering. Have a little think about that. Chew on that one for another message. God allows suffering to come to the enviable person, to the blessed person, as a way of making them less enviable. Joseph might have looked pretty cool with his dreams and visions, talking down to his brothers with his fancy coat on, but he didn't look that cool stuck in an Egyptian jail. But the blessing was still on him, and we know the story. He rises to prominence. So his brothers envied him. What about Korah and Moses? Can't God, Numbers chapter 12, can't God speak through all of God's people? Why is Moses picked out as special? Said Korah and his 250 followers. Boom, the ground opens up. Bye-bye, Korah. You don't get many kids at baby dedications called Korah, you know. I'd just like to name this kid Korah after the Bible. And how about Dathan and Abiram? That's just not going to happen. How about a couple more? David and Saul, you remember them? The envy that Saul had as the leadership was still in Saul's hands, but he saw the anointing, the blessing on David. And do you remember when they came back from war, the women were singing the song? Saul has killed the thousands, but David the... Tens of that. Ooh. couldn't accept that he'd killed thousands because David had killed tens of thousands, and Saul wants to get a spear and drive it through him and just kill him off. You heard the story of the CEO that gets one of his managers in the company office one day, big company, and he says, guys, gets all his managers in. He says, I want you, CEO meeting, he says, I want you to find the smartest, youngest, most passionate worker in our company, the one that shows the most promise to one day be a manager and one day take this company to its next level. The managers are all going, yeah, okay, boss, okay. And he says, and when you find him, I want you to fire him. Jeremiah and Hananiah. Jeremiah the prophet, by the false prophet Hananiah, envied. It had to be envy that caused some of the persecution on Jeremiah. What about Jesus and the Pharisees? The Pharisees were the closest thing to peers to Jesus. Rabbis, religious leaders. And it says, when in Pilate's account in Matthew 27, it says, because of envy, they handed him up. Because of envy, Jesus was handed over to be crucified. Isn't that interesting? That little sin again coming up. Someone else has the blessing. They could feel at the time that the leadership was moving away from them. They could feel the crowds moving towards Jesus. And all of a sudden, the envy comes up and it costs Jesus his life. This is the classic one, the prodigal son and the older brother. You remember Luke 15? When the son returns home, the father kisses the son, gives him a big hug, and the older brother, it says, what does it say? Gets angry. Why? Because the father is blessing the younger, naughty son. The older brother, if he could have only just said, wow, my father is so kind, this kid don't deserve nothing, and he's blessing him, that reflects on the goodness of my father. But it doesn't work like that. Envy rises up and says, what about me? Like a little orphan Oliver Twist, please sir, could I have some more? Because I just haven't got enough and I've always been inferior. You say, Steve, it's so awesome that you speak with such authority on this subject. Yes, I do. I speak with incredible authority on this subject. The reason why is because I struggle with this. Oh, really, Steve? You struggle with sin? Yep, loads of them. And my wife will tell you, I can hear you smirking and choking on your water. Don't choke, darling, just drink. Ha, 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 ha. Here's a sin, how I struggle with envy. So, in preaching, in being invited to a conference. Now, when you get invited to speak at a conference, that's a little feathers start ruffling. You think, ego gets stroked, Dave. Feels a bit nice. They want me to speak. They don't want you. They want me. Well, there was a really good conference come up with friends of mine, perceived friends of mine. And there were 10 speakers from New Zealand speaking. And I had spoken at this conference before. This didn't happen 20 years ago. This happened 2 months ago. And the little graphic came into my email box and I thought, yay, the conference is on again. And I looked along all the lovely little faces of all my friends who are very anointed. And one little anointed face that I didn't see was mwah! And of course, because I'm set apart for Jesus and secure in my relationship with Jesus, I just said, thank you, Lord, that the conference is going ahead without me. I got really angry. And there's one particular guy who remains nameless, but I'll tell you privately. He's definitely better looking than me. And every time I hear his name, things started coming up within me. Envy. What's this? Why can't I let it go? Let it go. Let it go. I couldn't. I was frozen in that place. And it stuck around. And then people would call me. Have you heard Brother So-and-so speak? He is, oh, yeah, I know all about Brother So-and-so. His church is doing so well. Awesome! I'm really pleased for him and his church. Deep down inside, I wanted to kill him. Because then I would get the invite to the conference, because there would be a gap. And I'm embarrassed, not much, to say all that. I'm embarrassed about that. Envy. One tiny little issue of envy. And I know, of course, all the women are just here, and it just never happens to you. I understand. This was just for men. I understand, girls, it's okay, but we'll try and see if it happens for you. I can't relate, of course, because you're all so holy. But there was Sarah and Hagar. Hagar, feeling despised, kicked out of the home, would have envied Sarah. Sarah, the minute Hagar got pregnant, she despised her. Rachel and Leah, of course, that's a classic one. Jacob's wives. The Bible says that Leah had weak eyes. It translates, she has weak eyes. In Hebrew, it's probably that she was ugly. Leah's ugly. And it says that Rachel is gorgeous. So Jacob's got two wives. One's the ugly duckling, one's the beautiful swan. You don't think there's going to be issues in the house? Like there's issues in that house. And then God, in his wisdom, gives the children to the ugly woman and closes the womb of the gorgeous woman. Now you've got double, it's going both ways now. To the point where Rachel says, Jacob, just give me children or I die. Burning up with envy. And that's all in the Bible for you. Hananiah and Penaniah. Hananiah was considered a drunk at the temple because she was so distraught over Elkanah's other wife, Penaniah. She was part of a polygamous relationship because Penaniah was getting all the children and Hannah wasn't getting children. This is often an area women struggle with. So with men, it will be prestige, money, earning clout and those things. With women, it's more family, you know, sexy dancing husbands. No, I'm just kidding, Sarah. But more family and children and the well-being of your home and the niceness of the togetherness of your family. Mary and Martha. Martha envied Mary. And then Miriam and Zipporah, Moses' sister, envying Moses' Ethiopian or Cushite wife. Didn't like her. Envied her. Spoke against her. So it happens with the women. Socrates said this, that envy is the ulcer of the soul. Look at these two fellas here. These are the killers at the Columbine massacre in 1999, where several children were shot dead. These guys were obsessed with video games and violent video games. And it says at the Columbine High School, Dylan Klebold envied the social successes of the school's athletes. In his journal, he wrote, I see jocks having fun, friends, women. In another entry, he wrote, I hated the happiness that they, the jocks, have. Driven by envy, which led to murder. Unbelievable. And the same with Michael Carneal. I'll come to a close here with the kids coming back. This guy opened fire at 14 years old on a prayer circle in North America. Galatians 5 says the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy. Envy comes just before drunkenness and orgies. I better just whiz past these. Boom, boom, boom. There we go. All right. I got $10 really quick. $10. Now the kids are here, this will liven them up. Give you $10 without looking at your Bible. If you can tell me, without looking at your app or your Bible, you can tell me the 10th commandment. Quick! This is. Huh? No, not do not envy. Have a go. Oh, you get the 10 bucks, mate. There you go. We've got one person that knows the Bible in the church house. That's good. There you go, sweetheart. All yours. For the 10th commandment, you get $10. It says this: you shall not cover your neighbor's house. You shall not cover your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. It's one of the 10. It's one of the 10 commandments. There we go. You knew it would be good. Resentment kills like a fool, and envy slays the simple. So I want to encourage you, especially young people with Facebook and looking at people's profiles, the falsity of our world that we live in, at seeing the best side of people on their Facebook profiles. I mean, I've got a female friend who, honestly, she's not the most blessed in her face. If you know what I mean. She's nice, she's got a lovely heart, but she's not really going to be on the front page of Cosmopolitan every week. And she's a lovely girl, but then I got a friend, someone wanted to friend me on Facebook, and I recognized the name, but I didn't recognize the face. Why? Because she'd spent a lot of money sorting that Facebook profile out to make her look like something off the page of Cosmopolitan to come and be. I just didn't recognize that. She doesn't look like that. And a lot of people are presenting that nice life side of themselves on Facebook or on Snapchat or on Instagram. It's kind of a phony way of living, and we can envy a false lifestyle of others. How many of you have envied somebody when you've actually come to know them for who they really are? You think, you know what, I'm actually pretty glad I'm me. Being me is actually not so bad after all. I'll come to a close here. So, we got time for this? All right, get your phones out, because you're getting itchy. It's time for a coffee, I can tell. There you go. Text me. Come on, text me real quick the thing that you envy most, and I'll read them out. Go on, text me. I'm waiting. You've been dying to play with your phone all week, all morning. Come on, Abby, get your phone out. One-liners. Come on, text me. What do you struggle with? Come on. I won't call out your name. I'll just call out your vice. Come on, text me. Borrow your mum's phone. Ho ho! Here they come. That's good. Go on, text me. Text me. Text me what you struggle with. What peer group you struggle with. I'm not reading that one out. Come on, quick as you can, we've got to go home. Oh, here we come. Oh yeah, that's a good one. Friends from university graduating when you didn't graduate. It's a good one. Come on then. Blue eyes, someone says. They envy blue eyes. Very good. Someone here envies other mothers and their families. I'm not reading out some of these because you're messing about with me. Whoever it is, I'm just not going to read them out. So I'm not playing the game, all right? Oh, okay. Really struggle with friends who are thinner or who lose weight easily. Yeah, that's a biggie, isn't it? Definitely. I'm envious of a sleepless night. Oh, someone put me. They're envious of me. Well, how sad is that? I've just humbled myself and been as vulnerable as I can about my sad existence on planet Earth, and you're envious of me. You really qualify for ultimate sadness. I've got you in there, babe. You're in my phone, so I know it's you. Oh, it's him. Okay. Someone envies, they have beard envy for me. It's just, you're too visual. Younger people with waxed chests. Okay. Other friendships. This is, what is this place? Is this some sort of zoo? Rotten and Vaughan, what are we? This is all in my phone. I've got the evidence. You call yourself Christians? A lot of yous. Someone envies Michelle Shearer. Hey? Beautiful women that are slim when I struggle to lose weight. Body image. People with better toys. Other people who have big houses and pools. Good enough? My son envies my fashion confidence. You're welcome. You get to a certain age, Isaac, you just couldn't care less. All right, let's close it up. Let's land this baby. Okay, so this guy did a PhD actually on the tall poppy syndrome in New Zealand, and Jay Woodwards and Woodhams, and he said this: they have tall poppy in Britain and Australia, but my argument is we have a very distinctive New Zealand way of doing it. We subtly knock them down. And the reason I'm challenging this is because it is the tall poppy thing. We pull back those who are more blessed, more successful than us. We pull back the anointed. We pull back the higher earners. You're just going to have to accept it. Some people are going to have different levels of anointing in the church family. You're just going to have to accept it. People earn different amounts of money. There is a class structure in New Zealand. I know you don't want there to be one, but there is one. And it's just the way it is. There are some people who live up the Richmond Hills and some people who live, you know, down the Richmond Hills, if you know what I mean. Am I right? It's just the way it is. Okay, in closing. Finally, Paul says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And there's a fridge magnet, but this is the context. I won't read it all. He says in verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. And I would encourage you in closing that the way to compensate for those feelings of insecurity when others are blessed is to enjoy who you are. Enjoy the place that you're in. My wife has a fantastic gift at giving thanks in awkward circumstances. Emma, I really admire you for that, because we can have hospital visit after hospital visit of sick kid after sick kid, and Emma will say, hold on a minute, let's just not complain, let's give thanks. And it nullifies that whole thing. It just reduces it, and all of a sudden we're in the blessed mode again. We don't need to be envious. Amen. Okay, I appreciate I've gone over time, and thank you for listening. To you, sir.